Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Tes Vav. We have a number of names to learn for today, Leliyas Nishmasim that I just received. So, Fanny Teplitsky, Tzina Fega Bas Moshe Isser. This is Mike's mom, and Mike's a regular listener to the Shiv for many, many cycles. Also, Seymour Hammer, Shalom Yosef Ben Chaim, Moshe David, Maz Needle, Shmuel Menachem Mendel, Ben Eliezer Wolf, and also we're learning today for Refuah Shleima, for a regular listener to the Daf's father, Yosef Eliezer Ben Shendel Reisel. All the neshamas that we learn for Shevin Aliyah and all those who need a Refuah Shleima from all of Klai Yisrael should have a Refuah Shleima b'mehera. We begin today's share seven lines up from the top of Tes Vav and Aleph, reminding ourselves that yesterday we had a discussion about the double rov that was necessary in order to mata the girl Nebuk that was raped in our Mishnah that we had discussed, Rav Yochanan ben Uri's din, as quoted by Rav Yossi. So we said that you needed a double rov. You needed two separate rovs, and in that way, for Yuchsin, we allowed the woman, the girl, in this situation, not to be Psula Lekohen. If you had a rov that it was Ksheirim and another rov that was Ksheirim, and you combine those two, so then we allowed the woman to go and marry to the Kahuna. Now, Mark continues and says again, seven lines from the top to his level of an olive, Kiha, this din is similar, the Chiosa Ravdimi, Amaziri, Amar Uchanina. Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, so he said over this din in the name of Ziri, in the name of Uchanina. Others say it was Vamrila, it was Ziri himself who said it, Amaziri, Amar Uchanina, not that Ravdimi brought it over. And they said, Holchen Acha Rov Ha'ir, Vein Holchen Acha Rov Sia. When you need a majority, when you need a rove, you look at the rove of the city, but you don't look at the rove of the travelers. The seer was the group of travelers, the caravan, the people that were coming, so you don't look at that rove. Now this implies that you only need one rove over here, and that's obviously incorrect, as the Gemara now say. So the first Gemara says, Klapilaya, this logic that you're bringing down, that you need one rove, the wrong rove was brought down. You're telling us you have the rove of the city. That's the ikker thing. And you don't look at the rove of the siyah, of the travelers, but that's the opposite of what it should be. Because hani naidi, the people that are moving, are those that we follow the famous rule called the parish, meruba parish. When we have something that has been removed from the place where it came from, and now it's in a new place, and something from there happened. So then we look at the rove as if it's parish from a place that was moving. So in that situation, we follow the rove. As opposed to, if something is in its set place, and that's called kavua. So in a set place, we follow the other rule of kol kavua kemechza umechza domi. If something is taken from a set place, even though the majority would be A and the minority of B, so we consider this halachically as it was a 50-50 split called kavua, since it came from a set place, kemechzu mechzu domi. We ignore the statistical proportions and we just view it as a 50-50 suffix. We will discuss this more in the shir, so if you didn't fully catch this right now, we'll go over it again in a few moments, but these two principles are critical principles throughout Shas. Again, Ksuvus is Shas Kotan, and these are very important ideas of kol kavua kemerzu merzu domi and kol de parish meruba parish. So in this situation, if you're dealing with the city is kavua, and the travelers would be what we would call moving, nodim. So when they're parish, they're moving, so then we say kol de parish meruba parish. So it should be when the traveling group, that should be looked at as the majority. As opposed to the city, if something occurred in the city, so then it should be kavua. In this situation, you should just look at 50-50 no matter what, even if it's 99 to 1. It could be 999 to 1 called kavua. When it's from a kavua, we view it halakhli as mechzu mechzu dami. So when this statement was made over either by Rav Dimi in the name of Ziri Amar Chanina or Ziri himself said in the name of Chanina, so it should have been the opposite, that when you're looking at the rov ear, you shouldn't go after the rov because that's kavua. Whereas when you're looking at the siyah, they're traveling, they're parush, so therefore you should say that you follow the rove in that situation. So that's klapilaya, the exact opposite of what you said. So this can't be correct. Ella, therefore, what is the correct understanding over here? What did Rav Chanina really say? He said, holchen acha rov ha'ir, v'hu de'ika rov siyah bahada. Oh, this is in accord with what we said at the end of yesteryear. I brought down at the beginning of this year, they need a double rove when it comes to yuchsin. So here, you have two roves. You have the rove of the siyah, and in addition, here you can add on the rove of the ear. The rove of the ear on its own would not be good. But the rov of the siyah plus the rov of the ear, that's what makes this good. Ein olchen. However, Rabbi Chanina said, "Ein olchen achar rov ear gredesa." If you just have the rov of the city, then you can't rely upon it, because we follow the principle of kol kavua kemechza umechza dami. And that's what Rashi says over here in Dibur Maskev, lo achar rov siyah gredesa v'achi kamai. Ein olchen achar rov siyah levada. And you can't even go after the rov of the siyah by itself. Never mind the rov of the city. The kol shekein. Because the rov ear levada, that would be kavua and called kavua kemechza mechza dami. But even the rov of the seal, which is one rov, but you would say called the parish meruba parish, we can't rely upon that for yosin. Now, why not? My timer. Why don't we allow a normal case over here of the majority to be followed with the seal? Okay, we understand why the city, no, but why can't the single rov be good? So the answer is, why do you need the double rov by yosin? Because of gezeira. Because if we allowed you to accept the rov of the siyah, the next thing you know, ought to rov her ear. You're going to go accept the rov of the ear. You're not going to be able to understand the difference between the two of them. And therefore, the rabbis made a gezeira over here that you need the double rov. Because if we allowed you to use the rov of the siyah, which technically should be good, because it's called the parish meruba parish, so that really would be good, but it would lead easily to a takala that we would allow the rov of the ear. And the rov of the ear is called kavua kemechza umechza dami and would not be good. More questions is, I said, wait a second. Rova ear, when you're dealing with the rova of the city, that should still be good. Nami, it should be okay, because it's also really parish. It's not kavua, because the person came from the city and went to the woman to have the illicit relationship with her. So he's really parish, not kavua. So Gemara says, Rova ear nami, it should be a perfectly good majority that we shouldn't have to make this a gezeira, rov siya, or to rov ear. The rova ear should be good because the guy left the city. Gemara says, you're right. If they, meaning the men, meaning that particular man, were to have left the city to engage in relations, so he left the city to go to her, so then you're 100% right. That would be called the parish meruba parish. And therefore, that would have been a good majority. But where it says we need it, we have to be concerned that it could be the other way around, that the woman went into the city and went to this man's house. So that concern would be called kavua kemechza mechza dami, and that's why we have to make all of these gezeiros to have the double rov. So lo tzricha, we needed this double rov because of the situation to call ozlo ihi, that this woman went ligabayu, went to them, went to the man's house that she's going to. And that would be dabli kavua, that's in the city, and gomer gezeira, the famous rule called kavua kemechza al mechza dami. So that's why we need the double rov, and life is good. Except that Gemara questions this and says, wait a second, really? Does everybody really think that you need to have this double rov? After all, we're now going to demonstrate that we have many cases where we don't require a double rov, and yet we follow, called the parish meruba parish. So why don't we do this over here by yosin? But Tanya, we have the following brisa, the famous brisa that discusses these concepts, is the Teisha Chanuyos brisa. So the brisa says, Teisha Chanuyos, you have nine butcher stores in town. Kulan mochos besar shkuta. They all sell 100% glatt kosher meat. However, the achas mocheretz basu nevela. There is one store that sells nevela. It sells non-kosher meat. So this town has nine kosher butcher stores and one treif butcher store. A guy went into one of these stores. Let's say he's a visitor town. He doesn't know. He thinks this whole town is all kosher. He went in to purchase one of the butcher stores. He doesn't know the town. He doesn't remember which one. And afterwards, he finds out that one of the stores is kosher, but doesn't remember which store he went into. In this situation, sveiko usser, because he bought it in the store. So that's kavua. And we say the principle, called kavua, kemechza mechza dami. Okay, that's not a problem. But if he finds a piece of meat in the street, that's parish. The meat left one of the stores. We don't know which store it left. There's a 90% chance it left the kosher store, but there's a 10% chance it left a treifa store, the one treifa store. But ubinim saw, we have the halachic right, called the parish, meruba parish, and halach achar harov. So here's one rov, nine stores versus one store, one rov, yet we allow it. So how come we don't allow it by yosin? Anyway, says maybe the reason over here is the chitema, there really are two rovs over here, because we're dealing with she'en dalsos medino ne'ulos, and the Ka'asi La Ruba Me'alma, because here we'll say that the city gates are open, and in fact, there are many Jewish travelers coming here with meat from another town, and therefore that's a second rov. And maybe the only reason over here we allowed that when you found the Beninsa that you're holding after the rov is because it's a double rov. maybe there's the rove of the city, the 9 out of the 10 butcher stores are kosher, but then the travelers, the vast majority of the travelers, are also bringing in kosher meat, and therefore you have a double rove. Maybe that's why Nimtza is okay. Where says that's not true? Well, I'm a Rebbe Zeira, because Rebbe Zeira said about this brisa that this din applies afal bishadalzos medina nulos, even if the city gates are closed, and therefore there are no travelers coming in with meat, and there's only one rove over here. So clearly you see that one rove is good. So the Gemara answers, Maila also be yuchsin, that here we have a situation where we go lechumra in regards to yuchsin. We don't allow something that would normally be allowed elsewhere, but in regards to yuchsin, we're machmir. The Gemara continues now and requotes what we just said in the name of Rabbi Zeira. On Rabbi Zeira, called kavua kemechza al mechza dami. When something was in a set place and then you remove something from it, we view it automatically as a 50-50 suffix, and we don't say that this is majority. This is true, the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira tells us, bein lekula, bein lechumra. We can use this principle for a stringency, but we can even use this principle for a leniency. And therefore, the Gemara is now going to ask, how do we know that we can use this even for a kula? A chumra, okay, we can always institute a chumra. But how do we know that we can go and say something is now mutter that would otherwise not have been mutter if it wasn't for this principle of kol kavua kemerza amerza domi? So the Gemara is going to first say, Rav Zeira is an Amora, so he's going to first have to find a Tanoic source for it, and then we'll question, what's the basis midaraisa for the Tanoic source? So we start off by saying, let us suggest it is from the famous Brisa of the Teisha Chanuyos. Ilema miteisha Chanuyos, the famous Brisa, kulan mochos besar shchuta, 9 of the stores sell kosher meat. V'achas bosin avela, and one of the stores sells non-kosher meat. V'lokach miachas mi, and he takes meat from one of them, so he took it from the store itself. They knew the amazing man Lokach. He doesn't know which store he took it from. Again, my example of he's a foreigner from the area. He comes into this town. He heard the butcher stores here all kosher. He goes into a butcher store. He buys meat. He comes back home. He has no idea which store he went to. They're all the same to him. So v'ini yadei amezim elokach, so sveikawasa. We say, since he took it from the store, that's a kavua, and we view it not as 90-10, and statistically speaking, you should follow the road, but we say in this situation, kol kavua kemerza merzadomi. And sveiko, therefore, is aser. That's luchumra. But uvenim tsa, but if he finds the piece of meat in the street, so it was porush, it left the stores, and it was now found in the street, so it's found porush, there we go with the rule, called the porush meruba porush. So, haulech acharov, and you have the right to go after the majority. But the first part of this statement was the call kavua kemechzu mechzu dami. That is the problem that we have. That's only luchumra. That said, that we have to view, even though there were 9 stores selling kosher meat, so we view it, therefore, not like you can go lekula, but call kavua kemechzu mechzu dami. That's luchumra. But where do we see that we can go lekula? So we haven't solved the answer yet. So that brings us another brisa. This brisa tells us for the case of Ella mitishot svardim, you have 9 dead frogs. Now, frogs are not one of the Shmona Shratzim. We have the famous Shmona Shratzim, the first listed in the Torah in Parsha Shmini at the end, where it lists these Shmona Shratzim have the ability to be Mitame Tumas Sheretz, only when they're dead. So these 9 frogs that you have are mixed with Sheretz Echot Beneim, 1 Sheretz. The frogs, the 9 frogs, do not transmit Tumas Sheretz, but only the Sheretz from one of the Shmona Shratzim types of species does transmit Tumah. So they're all in one together in one place, and the Naga Biachamiam, a person touched one of them, but he doesn't know the Aini Odeya, the A's in the Ham Naga. He doesn't know which one of them he touched. So statistically speaking, there's a 90% chance that he touched a non-Sheretz. He only touched one of them. But in this situation, we still say Sveiko Tome, because Kol Kavua Kemerzu Merzudomi, since they're in that place, they're Kavua. So even though statistically speaking, 90% chance that he touched a non-Metame dead animal, he touched the Tzvardeya and not the Sheretz, nevertheless, we go Luchumra and say Sveiko Tome. So the Gemara says, but that's also Hasad Nami Luchumra. What? How does that prove anything to say that Roseira is then, that you go even Lakula, is true? Now, this is such an obvious scenario. So one simple teretz is because we're really going to bring down the first part of this brisa, which is the next case, and that's going to be the case that we show kol kavua kemechza mechadami could even be lekula. The Shita Mekubetzis explains over here, however, that there would have been a kula over here that we could have brought down, but it wasn't beferish, and that's why the Gemara goes further to bring us another case. But the potential kula over here was that even though we say kol kavua kemechza mechadami, and that's lechumra, but now, since we say it's considered halachically as tameh, in a vadai sense, you can even go and burn truma or kachim, based upon this status. And that's a kula, because normally you're not allowed to go burn Truma Kachim, you're not allowed to do anything to destroy Truma Kachim, but here we're going to say Likula, that you could actually go and burn them. So there is an aspect of kula that we could have learned that the Shita Mugubetsa says, but the Gemara prefers to really give us the next case, which says Beferish for this den. And let's go on now to the next case, which is actually the beginning of this brisa of the Tisha Tzvardim. This case was Ella Mitisha Shrotzim. You have here nine dead animals that are from the Shmona Shrotzim, and they're definitely Mitami Tuma Sheretz, and one animal that's dead at Tzvardeya, one frog there, Beinehem. So you have here the majority, 90%, are going to be Mitami Tuma Sheretz if you touch them, and one is not. And what happens? And a guy touched one of these 10 dead animals, nine of which are shrotzim. So statistically speaking, 90% chance he touched a sheretz, and only a 10% chance that he touched the tzvadeh that would not be betamihim. The din is, if this was in a area defined as a rishus hayochid, a private domain, so then the sveiko is tamei. The sopik situation over here is tamei. But rishus harabim, if this was in a public domain, sveiko tohar. So here is clearly where you see, if we have the principle called kavua kamechzu dami, so we take it out of the robe, 90% chance that he touched a sheretz, and we allow it to be a 50-50 sopik, and the rule is rishus hayochid, it is tamei, but rishus harabim, sveiko tohar. And this is the example of where we see that kol kavua kemechzu mechzu domi could even be used lekula. Now this whole concept of sapik tuma b'shus hayochid is tome, and sapik tuma b'shus rabim is a sapik is in that situation is star. So this is all based upon the dinim of sota. It's not for our discussion right now, but these principles are very important shas principles. Again, the bottom line is here's where we have the example of kol kavua kemechzu mechzu domi could be used even lekula. Certainly we had several examples we could use the chumrah. Fine, now we have a tanoic source, this braisa, for Reb Zeira's din, and now the Gemara asks, umida raisa, nu, this tana, what did this tana base, this idea, kol kavua kemechzu mechzu domi could be relied upon, even lekula, mida raisa, umida raisa minolan. So we read now the following braisa. The braisa quotes the famous pasuk in regards to a person who accidentally killed somebody else. So I'm going to quote, the pasuk says, the arav lo, the komolav. But if he in fact did not like the person, then we can't assume it's an accidental death. If he was lying in wait, the arav lo, the komolav, and he killed him. So then, in this situation, you can't go and bring him to an ori miklat. He doesn't have the din of an accidental shogeg killer. But the words v'arav lo v'komolav seem to be unnecessary. So we have a machlokas as to what the purpose is. So the Tanakhama over here, Rabbi Shimon, is quoted in the Gemara in Sanhedrin with this opinion that ad shi'iskavin lo. This is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rashi brings this down from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And it really is not necessary for our din here, but it just quotes the entire part of the Braisa. And Rabbi Shimon holds that this pasuk, v'arav lo v'komolav, teaches us the din, that if you're going to try to kill Rachmana Litzlan somebody, and you're warned, the Edom give you Asura, they say, listen, if you kill Reuven, you're going to be Chayav Misa. Now, you then take a gun, and you shoot it at Reuven, but you end up killing Shimon, who's right next to him. So Rabbi Shimon holds that that's what this pasuk teaches us, the Arav Lov Ukom Olav, that you're only Chayav Misa's based in this situation. A Russia you are, don't get me wrong, but you only can be Chayav Misa's based in this Hasra, and the Edus will only have worked if you kill the person that you were warned about not killing. So they tell him, if you shoot this gun, you're going to kill Reuven, and you're going to be Chayav Misa, and he says, no problem, I'm going to do it anyway, and then he shoots the gun, but he kills Shimon. In that situation, you can't give him Misa's based in. And this is based upon this idea of miskaving, that you have to have intention. So Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that no, in this situation, if you're miskaving, la reganizeh, baharek is there, you're going to be potter. Fine, that's Rabbi Shimon's din. Chachamim disagree with it. So the Chachamim, Berabanan, they disagree with this drasha of Rabbi Shimon. They use this drasha, the arvel of a kamala, the extra words, to teach us a different drasha. Amri, the Bei Rav Yannai, they learn it like in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yannai, Prat Lezorik Evan Lego. They use this to say that you have to be miskaving for a yid. Now, absolutely have to make it clear, you're not allowed to kill anybody. You're not allowed to kill a Kanani, you're not allowed to kill a Goy, you're not allowed to kill an irreligious Jew, you're not allowed to kill a religious Jew. That's the din. However, Misa's based in by Sanhedrin Agodol of 23, has certain rules and requirements to it. And one of them is that you can't give Misa's based in by a Sanhedrin if a person kills a Kanani. Kanani will obey the Avodah Zarah, and you can't give the Misa's based in. So if a person shoots a rock, Zorek Evan Lego, to a group of people, and there are Yidden, and there are Kananim over there. So you can't give him a chiyuv of misas beis din if his rock over here killed a yid, because it was a possibility that it would have killed the Kenani, and therefore, in this situation, it wasn't a proper hasra, and therefore there is no misas beis din, even though you killed the yid, because there were Kenanim present over there. Now the Gemara says, what exactly is the case? Hey Chidomi, what are the circumstances over here? If it's dealing over here with nine Kenanim and one Yid, so then I don't need this principle of Kol Kavua Kemechzu Mechzu Domi to be taught over here. I can simply say, the reason why you're part of in this situation, even though you killed the Yid, was because the majority were Kenanim. And therefore, that's why you're not Chayiv, not because of any principle of Kol Kavua Kemechzu Mechzu Domi. And likewise, Inami, Pagu Pagu, it was five Yidden and five Kenanim, you also wouldn't need this rule, because Sofik Nefoshos Lahokil. We have a commandment, that we have to go out of our way. Beis Din has a requirement to go out of its way to try to find the person not guilty of a capital crime. So Vitzilu Ha'eda would teach us that here it's 50-50, so we don't give Misa in this situation, even though he killed a Yid, because of the possibility that he could have killed a Kenani, and therefore, Sofik Nefoshos Lahokil. So what is this drasha that today, Rabbi Yana, you're bringing down over here to explain the Chachamim? What is this situation over here where you threw a stone into a group of people and you're not going to be chayiv misa if you killed the yid because there were Kenanim there? It's dealing lo tzricha de ikotisha Yisraelim. There are nine yidin over there. And there's only one Kenani over there. And in this situation, I would have said, let's follow the majority, and therefore the majority is 90% yidin, one Kenani. So therefore, you could give this guy misa because we do, in fact, give misa based upon a rov. For example, if you shoot somebody and you kill them, and there was appropriate warning and everything, so Beis Din could give you Mises Beis Din. Maybe this person was a treifa, maybe this person would have died anyway, maybe he had a hole in his heart where you shot him, and he would have died a week later because of the hole in his heart, not because of the bullet. That's the minority. But we see that we follow the majority, that most people are not treifa. So Beis Din can rely upon the principle of rov, even to put a person to death. But here, in this situation, I would have said, well, it's 90% that are Yidden, only one Kenani, 10% Kenani, so therefore we should give this guy Mises Beis, and if he was warned, don't throw that stone into that group, because you're going to hit a Yid. So, in this situation, here's where we have the proof. The Arav lo v'komlo, the Adle Kenani Kavua, because the Kenani over here is part of a said group, a Kavua group, and we have our principle, even on a Daraisa level, v'chol Kavua, kemechza al mechza dami. And that's why you don't give Mises. That's the Chacham's opinion, that's the Dvei Rabbi Yanai, and this is our Tanaic source in the Pasuk. The Pasuk we are of Lovakomla. Now the Gemara says, Itmar, going back to our Mishnah, where we had the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and we've already explained multiple times today and yesterday, Shia, that that's dealing with two roves. We had two majorities, and that's why we had said that this young girl, Nebuch, that had been assaulted because of the rove of the city and the rove of the Sia, was allowed to go marry Kohen. So, we're now going back a step and saying, we're assuming right now that that's not a double rove. We're assuming the simple reading of the Mishnah was a single rove. She left the city. A man assaulted her outside the city. So the rove of the people come from the city, called the parish, Meruba parish. And therefore, we have a right to assume, based upon a single rove, that she is permissible to marry a kohen. This is before the whole drasha from today and the end of yesterday's shir. So the Gemara tells us, Itmar, Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amarav, said over the name of Rav, Halachi Rav Yossi, we follow this opinion that Rav Yossi quoted, in the name of Yochanan ben Nuri, that this girl, Nebuch, that had been assaulted, is permissible to marry a Kohen because of the single majority, and called the parish, Meruba parish. Alternatively, Rav Chanan bar Rava Amarav said, no, the Mishnah is Horas Shah Haisa. This was a unique exception to the rule. And you can see in Dibra Maskel and Rashi Horo Shor Haisa that opinion Hachter Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah that Tzorech Shor Haisa, we allowed this young girl Nebuch who's assaulted to rely upon a single rove only in this situation. There was a Tzorech Shor Haisa, there was some pressing need at that point in time. Horo Shom Tzar Tzidei Heker Dvarim Lahatir. There was something else there that allowed us to rely upon the single majority. However, Avol Adoros for all generations for future cases. Rav's opinion is that you need two rows. Like we know that the Mishnah really was explained like Rav, and that's what Rav Chanan bar Rava is telling us, that our Mishnah may have been a single row because it was a unique case, but in general, Rav requires a double row. So Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav, goes within the idea that for Yosin you need a double row. But the first opinion, Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, seems to say that a single row is fine. So the Gemara questions this. Masid Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah says, really? Ul Yosin lo bein and trei rube? We had just said, isn't it true that you need for Yosin two roves, two majorities, but none? We learned in the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Machshirin. And we turn to Tesvav Amud Beis. Matzo botinok mushloch nebuch. You find a child that is a foundling. It's left out in a basket someplace. You find this child, he's mushloch, he's left out there. So what is the status of this child? Is it a Yiddish child? Is it a Goyish child? Is it Sufik? What's the status? So this Mishnah Machshirin tells us, Im rov ovdei kochavim, if the majority of people living in the city are ovdei kochavim, so then the status of this child is ovdei kochavim. And we'll explain momentarily, in what regard does it mean that the child has the status of an ovdei kochavim? Im rov Yisrael, if the majority of the people living in the city, however, are Yisraelim, so then Yisrael. Then we give this halachic status to the child of being a Yisrael. If it's mechzal mechza, if it's 50-50, that 50% are goyim, ovdei kochavim, 50% are yidin, so then, halachically, we give the child the status of being Yisrael. And again, the Gemara will explain all three of these situations. Give it the status of an ovdei kochavim, if it's a majority is a yid, if it's mechzal mechza, give it the status of a yid as well. What are the nafkaminas of this? We'll get to that in a moment. But on this statement, this is Rav Yirmiyah's question, Rav said, Yom Rav, lo shanu ela lahachayoso. In regards to the requirement for Beis Din to support him, as Rashi points out, lahachayoso means Beis Din mitzuvim lefarneso. Beis Din has to go and support this Yiddish child. Mishum v'chei achicha imach. So this is an obligation of the Beis Din. In that respect, we treat the child as a Yid. However, that's only in regards to this Din of lahachayoso. But in regards to Yochsin, even though it's a single majority, lo, we don't rely upon a single majority. So this is Rav Yirmiyah's question. How can you say, Rav, that we do rely upon a single majority? Here, clearly, we have this Mishnah that Rav interprets as saying, Yochsin lo, and he doesn't rely upon a simple majority. So that's Rav Yirmiyah's question. Incidentally, we also have Shmuel's opinion here, which we'll discuss and explain in a moment as well. We'll just read it now. Ushmuel amar levakeach lo v'sagal. In what respect do we treat this child as a yid, that you're obligated to go and even on Shabbos, desecrate the Shabbos, be mechal Shabbos, to go and save this child. Now, this simple understanding that I just said of Shmuel will prove is wrong in a moment, so I won't discuss this anymore right now because this is not the correct interpretation of Shmuel. This right now is a hav, I mean, of what Shmuel said. And I'm just reading the words. Okay, let's get back to Rav Yirmiyah's question. So Rav Yirmiyah said that Rav, on our Mishnah, as brought down by Chiya Bar Ashi, seems to say a single majority is good. But in this Mishnah in Machshirin, he clearly says that a single majority is not good in regards to Yochsin. So that's Rav Yirmiyah's question. The Gemara says, Rav Yirmiyah forgot what Rav really said. Ishtamit say, Ha da'ama Rav Yehuda amar Rav. The statement of Rav Yirmiyah that Chiya Bar Ashi said the name of Rav was a misunderstanding because he forgot that in addition to that, Rav had said that we're dealing with a double majority. Bikrono shel tzipori have a ma'isa, that ma'isa occurred where there were travelers, there were caravans of people coming to that area. So the wagons from Tzipori were there as well. So you had the majority of the people in the city, plus the majority of the caravans, and therefore it was a double majority. And that's why when Rav Chiya Bar Ashi quoted Rav, it wasn't a full quote. Rav Yirmiyah forgot that Rav had also said that there was another majority, and therefore Rav's din, as we had already explained beginning of today's share and yesterday's share, was that Rav holds that the Mishnah, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, is only saying that the little girl Nebuch had been assaulted, it's permissible to marry a Kohen when you have the double Rav. So Rav is fine. But now, we had brought down Ul Rav Chanan bar Rava, who said that Rav had said, D'amah Horoa Shai saw that Rav in general does hold a double majority, but our Mishnah is dealing with a single majority and there were some extenuating circumstances, Nu Kashaha. So why do we allow, even under extenuating circumstances, a single majority to be good? Clearly, from the Mishnah Machshirim, we don't allow a single majority to be good. So there's still a Kasha. So the Gemara says, Yataka, right. Man demas neha, Rav Chanan by Rava, who said that this was a Horoa Shai, can certainly not be in accord with the statement that So these two statements that are attributed to Rav, one by Rav Chanan bar Rava, and the other one over here by Rav Yehuda amar Rav, so they both aren't in accord with each other. One of them has to be incorrect, and therefore Rav Chanan bar Rava, if he said this, he can't hold from the statement of Yehuda amar Rav, and obviously Rav Yehuda amar Rav, if that's true what he said, it is double majority, he obviously doesn't say that this was a Rav Shah like Rav Chanan bar Rava said. Now we go back to understand this Mishnah that we brought down with the three scenarios of the child either being considered a majority of Kohavim, majority of Israel, or Metzah, considered like Israel. So Gufa, we go back to read that Mishnah. Motzah batinok mushlach, if you found this foundling, so Imrov of the Kohavim, of the Kohavim. We said if the majority of the people living in the city, and the Mefarshim also explained that it's really the majority of people that can have children that are living in the city are of the Kohavim, so we treat this child as an Ovi Kohavim. Imrov Yisrael, if the majority of people that have a child are Yisrael, so then Yisrael. And Metzah, if it's 50-50, then we also treat it as Yisrael. So what are the Nafkuminas? So Amar Rav, Rav says, this was only said, Lo Shanu El Alachioso. As we already pointed out, Rav said, this was a din not for Yichus, this was only a din of the mitzvah of the Chei Achicha Imach, that the basin is Mitzvah Lefarnaso. However, that was only for Lachioso, but Yuchsin, you need a double majority law. And then we had Shmuel's enigmatic statement, Shmuel Amar, Levakechel Vesagal, that it teaches us that you're allowed to go and be Machal Shabbos to go and see if the child is alive. If this child had been buried under a building that collapsed, then all the rubble that's over there is allowed to be moved to go and see if the child is alive. So the Gemara first starts off questioning Shmuel. Said, "Mi amar Shmuel hachi? How could Shmuel say this? After all, Amar Yosef, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. It was said over the name of Shmuel. Amar Yosef, Amar Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Ain't hocham bepiwach nevashos, bepiwach nevash achar rov. You don't follow by bepiwach nevashos the majority. Even if there's a very, very, very low likelihood that a person is alive under there, so then you're allowed to go and save that life. So what are you talking about that you can't save the life over here?" So Gemara says, you're right, that can't be what Shmuel said. Ella ki itmar de Shmuel. Shmuel's statement was actually going not on the Seifa, but was going on the Reisha. A Reisha itmar. What was that? The Imrov of the Kohavim, of the Kohavim. He said, if the majority of the people in this town who could have a child were of the Kohavim, so then you're dealing over here with the child has the status of the Kohavim. Now on this, Omar Shmuel, on this Shmuel, it said, Ulefakeach levesagal, ain't okay. As opposed to the din to go and Mimchal Shabbos, to take the building apart and look for a child that might be buried underneath there, a person might be buried underneath there, this din doesn't apply. In that respect, you can be Mechal Shabbos. So that's what Shmuel said, Ulefakech Levesagal, you certainly are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if there's a person alive, possibly underneath there. Now the Gemara says, so what did we mean then when we said Imrov over the Kochavim, Lamai Hilchusa? In what regard was the din saying that the majority of the people in the city were of the Kochavim? Then we assume that this mushlach, that this foundling child, is also an Ovi Kochavim. In what regards to what din? So Amar Papa, Lachilo Nevelos. So Basin wants to support this child, but it's expensive to give him kosher meat. So as Rashi points out, you can even give him biodayim. Basin can go feed this guy pork. Basin can go feed this guy nevela. The kosher cane, and certainly shaloyach ziru lo aveda ulnizokin. The other two cases that we're about to mention about hashavas aveda, which only applies to a yid, and certain dinim of shor shenagach only apply to a yid and not to a guy. So certainly that would apply in this situation as well, that we don't treat this person as a yid, but we treat them as an ovi kochavim. And here we just gave this strong example over here, lahachilo nevelos. Even be a daim, you can go feed this child nevela. Okay. What about the next case? We said in Rovi Soy Yisrael, if the majority are Yidden, so then we treat this foundling as a Yid in regards to what din l'mai hilchasa. So here Rapapa tells us, Rapapa lachziru lo aveda. This is the din of Hashavas aveda. And Rashi points out, in Dira Mas lachziru lo aveda, Rivusi, this is a bigger chiddush than just saying that you can't feed him in the velos. The motzim in Yad Yisrael, that what you have the right to do over here is take it from the Yid who found it and say, no, we're going to give it back to this foundling because we treat him halachically as a Yisrael. And the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is a specific din by a Yid. Rashi and Tosus both say over here, the sources that bring down the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that if somebody is machzir an Aveda, where it won't cause a kiddush shem shamayim, and he just is machzir an Aveda to a guy, stam to do so, so he's basically saying that there's no difference in the din of the Torah. The Torah doesn't make any distinctions in different characteristics or qualities of people. And therefore, he's basically saying, I'm doing Hashem's Aveda because I think it's the right thing to do, and not because the Torah commands it. So therefore, in this situation, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down that you're not allowed to return it unless, of course, you make a Kiddush Hashem. If you make a Kiddush Hashem, they'll say, wow, look at the way an Erlich Yid acts, so that's a different story. So in any event, in regards to Hashavas Aveda, that's why we say, Rov Yisrael, we treat this kid as Yisrael, that we'd even take money from another Yid who was Zolcha into it and remove that money from one person and bring it to this foundling because of this din of Rov Yisrael, Yisrael. And finally, the last case that we brought down the Mishmach Shirim, Merzal Merzal, we treat it as a 50-50 as if it's Yisrael, Lamai Hilza, in regards to what din is that? Some are Shlokish, this is in regards to Lini Zokin. This is in regard to Shor Shenogach. There's a very interesting din in Bava Kama, which has a very interesting whole discussion about it over there. This was one of the situations where when they taught over the Torah to the persecutors, they didn't want to go and teach him this din, because this would seem to demonstrate that the Torah treats different people, different nations differently. In any event, we'll wait till we get to Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Zayin, to go and discuss that din. Right now, Rashi just brings down the din, Shor Shel Yisroel Shenogach L'Shor Shel Kenani. If a Yid's shor goes and is Menageach, a shor of a Kenani, Potter. There are no obligations of Shor Tam or Shor Muad. You don't have to pay. It's an accident. The Shor Shel Kenani, but if the guy's, the Kenani's shor is Nogach L'Shor Shel Yisroel, so here, we don't make a distinction between Tam Bein Muad, whether it gored previously or not gored previously, Mishalim Nezik Sholim. So there's a difference in the din here between a Yid's ox that gores a guy's ox and a guy's ox that gores a Yid's ox. And Rashi continues, Be Yisroel, Yisroel. So if it's a Yid, that his ox gores another Yid's ox, so then it depends. Tam Mishalim Chetzi Nezik, or Muad Mishalim Nezik Sholim. If it's an ox that hasn't gored previously three times, then you only pay half the damages. Wait till we get to the Gemara and Baba Kama to discuss that in much more detail. If your shor is a shor nagach, so it has gored three times, it's a shor muad, so therefore, in this situation, you go pay the full damages. So Reish Lakish says, this din of mechza mechza, we consider the family to be a Yisrael, is in regards to Nezikin. So Gemara says, what exactly does Reish Lakish mean? Hey, dummy. If you're dealing inema, the nachay Torah didon, if you're dealing with that a Yid's ox was menageach le Torah didei to this foundling's ox, kid grows up and he has an ox, so then, what do we need any Mishnah to tell us this? Le-mulei, we normally have a rule of hamotzi mechaver ol haraya, so let the owner of the ox that did the damage, the Yid's ox that did the damage to this foundling's ox, the foundling grew up and he was an ox, so he can say to the kid, listen, prove to me, I see raya, the Yisrael act, prove to me that you're a Yid, and then, ushkol, I'll be happy to pay you. But otherwise, the din is, I can treat you as if you were a guy, because I'm also mechaber ol haraya, and therefore, I don't have to pay you. So that, I wouldn't need Reish Lakish to tell me that. I wouldn't need the Mishnah to tell me that. Shmuel says, you're right. Lo tzricha, the chiddush of Reish Lakish, the chiddush of the Mishnah that we treat when it's mechza mechza, the foundling of the city of Yisrael, is lo tzricha, the nachay tura didei, when this foundling grows up, and his ox gores le Torah didon, to avada Yid's ox. So, how much does he have to pay? So, in the case where this is a shor tam, it had never gored before, and now it gores for the first time. So, the din is, when this foundling's ox, which is a shor tam, gored a vada yid's ox, he has to only pay chatzi nezik. Paul gumeshalim. He can pay the chatzi nezik if he was a yid. And what about the other half? If he was a guy, he'd have to pay the full nezik shalem. So then, the yidach palgu, the other half, he, this foundling, amalu, can say to the yid that his the family's ox gored the yid's ox, and he can say, I see right, the lav Yisrael no. Prove to me that I'm not a Yisrael. Now, hamotz b'chaver olam haray, you have to prove that I'm not a yid. And then, v'tein l'chon, then if you prove to me that I'm a guy, so then I'll be happy to pay you the other half. But until then, I don't have to. And in that regard, that's what it mechza mechza Yisrael. If the half the people are yid and half the people are goyim, so we treat this family as a yid, it's in regard to this din, Reish Lakish says, of Nizakin, that this child can say to the yid, levada yid, I'll pay you the half, because I'm a yid. And if you want to say that I'm a guy, prove to me that I'm a guy, and I'll pay you the other half. Okay, a little bit of an interesting end to this parak. Hadron alecha besula nises, hadron alecha besula nises, hadron alecha besula nises. Baruch Hashem finished the first parak in Kisubos Mitzvah Hashem. Tomorrow we'll start the second parak. With this we conclude today's share.